Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. We're going through the Bible. We're in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet. We're at chapter 18 and verse 20. Before we continue, I wanted to address an email that I got. I hope that the sender of the email doesn't mind, but I think this may be something that perhaps a lot of people are concerned about. I've got several emails like this in the past. Of course, this is a question that everyone has to deal with. And let's see, how much of this should I read? This is from Larry. And he says, "Hi, Nicholas. You've jumped into a new Bible study series. Thank you. Your study today," and he's speaking of yesterday. He says, "Hour one was absolutely fantastic. Thank you for sharing this with us." He said, "In a previous part of this new series, you told how you began to wake up and began to discover everything that you learned before your meeting with," he puts, "Jesus. This is where I am, Nicholas. For some time now, I have realized the same personally, that literally everything I had ever been taught was a lie, mistruth, deception, or an illusion. This included organized religion. I was in a non-denominational Christian church and was in ministry training there, but I noticed that some of the things being taught were not what I discovered on my own in the Word. When I questioned these things over time, I never got any satisfactory answer that I felt was scriptural. I am sure that the pastoral staff was not openly being deceptive, but they were ignorant from the lessons from their teachers, etc. I went to different churches, some non-denominational, some denominational, looking for some truth, but found none. Everything revolved around money, and this sickened me, so I quit going to church. I didn't know what a 501c3 corporation was back then, but I knew something was wrong. Now, I know every church is a corporate church. Even though I left the church, my heart was still drawn to the Word of God. Now, here's perhaps where I'm hoping you might be able to give me some help. In my heart of heart, I don't think I am a Christian. My heart yearns to be, but there is something holding me back from throwing my whole self into it and the willingness to surrender completely. I think that a big part of this, Nicholas, is that everything I had ever believed in and threw myself into, I discovered was a lie and deception. Now, I think I'm afraid to take that risk of throwing myself completely into belief in Christ, because there is a part of me that is afraid I will be burnt yet again and will discover that it was nothing but another lie and deception. Is there anything you might be able to tell me, if you're willing, that might help me overcome the split mind I have on the issue? Nicholas, I have prayed and have tried to talk to Jesus and God. When I get what might be the answer, I don't know from who the answer comes from. The answers are always in words in my head. I think in words, and I don't know if part of my mind is making stuff up or what. I thought about asking God for a sign, but then remembered that Jesus told the scribes not to tempt God for a sign, because that signs were already given. Thank you for any help you might be able to render." And that's pretty much it. He says that he likes the program and the studies. But anyway, he says, "I have serious doubts about my own salvation being secure." And, well, we need to continue in the Word, one, Larry. And you know, these are the same questions, I believe, that we all have to struggle with if we're really honest. So these are good things, that you're struggling with these things in your minds. It means that you're not willing to settle for anything less than the truth. To me, in my eyes, when I hear this kind of cry, I see a heart that loves the truth. That's a good place to be. So you can have some peace in that you're not resting for and settling for anything less than the truth. As far as praying and hearing from God and the words in your own mind, yes, our Heavenly Father speaks to us, but He doesn't speak to us out of the cloud. He doesn't speak to us like He did to Paul on the Damascus Road. We don't hear an audible voice. The people around didn't, you know, we don't hear, "This is my beloved Son, hear Him." You know, we don't hear it like that. But what do we hear? Well, we have His Word. He gave us His Word. And let us drink that word. Let us eat that word. Let us fill our minds with his word. And that way we know that everything that comes into our mind that is in agreement with his word is his word. And we know that he only asks of us to do good. We don't need a sign. We don't need to hear an audible voice. Yes, we can have a so-called Damascus Road experience. Not everybody's going to get those. I had one in my life, basically, and that was, seemed like a miraculous event, but, unbelievers would say, well, that all only happened in your own head, Nicholas. And you know what? Perhaps they're right. Perhaps it did happen only in my own head, because it was only for me. And yes, I can't prove that happened to them. I have examined that over and over in my mind, whether it was true, what was true, what really happened on the road, on my Plymouth Road experience. But it didn't matter. It wasn't necessary, but it was a point in time where I know that I can point to and say, I entered into his kingdom at that time. Did I stay in his kingdom? No, I strayed because I was rebellious and I was a wicked young man and I didn't know how to walk with him. I had been trained in wickedness and deceit and untruth. But here's what our Heavenly Father wants us to do. He wants us to do only good. It doesn't matter. We don't love him because he shows us, he gives us experiences. We don't love him because we heard an audible voice. We don't love him because we saw a sign. These are not the things. These things didn't change. The people that saw the signs and heard the voices, that saw the healings, didn't change them. No, we love him because he loved us first. We love him because his character is such that he's not trying to take anything from us. He wants to save us. And he only asks us good. Everything that he asks us to do in his word is good. To love your neighbor as yourself. To love him. And how do you love him? By doing it his way. Because do we have a better way out of ourself? Are we gods that did we create ourself? No, he created us. Have faith and rest assured that if you continue in his word, and what it means to continue in his word is that you're obedient to his word, and that you nurture that desire to please him, to do only the things that please him, and you continue in his word, and it will all come. You will have that assurance. You will have that peace. Just continue. That's all I can say is just continue. And when things go on in your mind, you hear things, you think maybe perhaps God is speaking to you. Perhaps he is. What's he going to draw on? Well, he's going to draw on his word. The word that you've eaten, that you've drunk of his word. You've listened to his word. You've heard the word. It's sunk into your heart. You've taken it to heart. And he draws on that. And sometimes, yes, he will tell you to do this, go here, go there. The spirit, you'll get an unction in your spirit. You'll get a gut feeling to do this instead of doing that, to go this way instead of that way, to help this person, to give this man $100, to put an extra, $100 in the plate one day for some reason. And it doesn't matter. If you think about it, you think, okay, if this is God telling me to do this, it doesn't go against his word. I'm going to take a chance and be obedient. If I think about it too much, I might think my way out of it. And the Heavenly Father knows that what I'm doing is an obedience to him, so I'm going to do it. So sometimes you get those urges. You get the unction of the Holy Spirit. You get that gut feeling that you need to do this or that thing. But this or that thing will never be contrary to his law and his word. So you have safety there. You have safety in his word, and you know that you can do that thing, that whatever that unction is, that whatever that feeling that you have in your spirit, that gut feeling that you get. If you know his word, then you'll know that whether it is against his word. If it's against his word, then you judge it as being against his word, and you don't do it. And you thank God for that. Thank God for His Word in giving you that light. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. His Word. Just continue in it, and you can't go wrong. Just cultivate and nurture that desire to do only the things that please Him because you love Him. And continue. That's all I can say. That's all we all have to go on. We're all in the same boat here. But He's looking for people that will be obedient, that will desire to do good, that will desire to please Him without signs, without miraculous events, without audible voices, because everybody would be obedient if they heard the voice of God booming in their ear, if they were continually barraged with signs and healings and wonders, then wouldn't they all be obedient? No, but it's what happens when the excitement is gone. It's what happens when the signs disappear, when the healings and the miracles come to question in our mind. Did it really happen? Was it really real? It doesn't matter. All that matters is that I desire to be obedient to my Heavenly Father, that I live according to His law so I can stay in His kingdom, because He's looking for a people that will volunteer to live by His law because they love Him, because they desire to please Him. That's what it means. If you love God, what are you going to do? If you love our Creator, your desire, the desire of your life, is going to be to do only the things that please Him. And if you do something that displeases Him, your desire is going to be to stop doing those things that displease Him. Not because He's going to punish you, but because you love Him and you know that it displeases Him. You know, children are wonderful. I have grandchildren, I have children. And that really young ones, you get them 2 or 3 years old. And when you scold them, you can see their hearts turn and they just start to cry, and you see it in their face, and you realize they're not crying because you're scolding them. They're crying because you're displeased with them. You ever seen that, fathers, grandfathers? We've all seen that in the little children, how they cry, not because they fear retribution, but because they realize that we are displeased with them. And you have to take that time and to comfort them and explain to them, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't understand. And you explain to them what pleases you and why you're displeased with them with comforting words. And that's how our Father treats us. That's the relationship that we desire to have with Him. But if we want to practice wickedness, if money is our God, and we love the creation more than the Creator, and we serve, when we're just after the lust of the flesh, we're going to have no regard for God. I hope that helps. Anyway, let's jump back and continue in our study in Jeremiah. We're in Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 20. Shall evil be recompensed for good? And here Jeremiah is lamenting because he gave them the word. He said, are they going to now repay me evil for good? They have digged a pit for my soul. He says, remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them. I pled their case, Father. I pled the case to them. I pleaded with them to turn away from their iniquities, to save them. I stood before thee, Heavenly Father, he says, to speak good for them and to turn away thy wrath from them. But now they're going to recompense evil to me. They've digged a pit for my soul. Verse 21, therefore deliver up their children to the famine and pour out their blood by the force of the sword. Let their wives be bereaved of their children and be widows, and let their men be put to death. Let their young men be slain by the sword. You know what? The anger of Yahuwah is now consuming Jeremiah. He's speaking the same words of God. Let it be to them as they wish it upon me and your servants, because it's too late. The nation will not turn back. Yet there is that remnant, and we've talked about them, America. I don't believe there's any hope for America as a nation. The remnant, yes. I plead for the case of the remnant. And I know that our Heavenly Father is faithful, and come what may, that He can protect His remnant. Let a cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them, for they have digged a pit to take me, and hid snares for my feet. Yet, Yahuwah, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. Jeremiah chapter 19 and verse 1. Thus saith Yahuwah, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people, and of the ancients of the priests, and go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. And say, hear ye the word of Yahuwah, O kings of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord, Yahuwah of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle, because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense unto other gods, whom neither can they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. Yes, good morning, America. Is this place filled with the blood of innocents? They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spoke it, neither came into my mind. Oh, in America, we don't sacrifice our children to idols, do we? Well, what is it? What is it? The blood of innocence destroyed and ripped from the womb of women by the millions, cast into a furnace to be incinerated. Do you think the enemy of mankind delights in that? You better believe the enemy of mankind delights in it. Do you think our Father, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, who said, be fruitful and multiply? Do you think the one that said, children are a blessing? Blessed is the man who has his quiver full. Do you think he's pleased with it? Not at all. They have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spoke of it, neither came it into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Yahuwah, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies, and by the hands of them that seek their lives, and their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. Here's Jeremiah, you know, shouting this out to the priests, to the kings, to the princes of Judah, and to all the people entering in it to Jerusalem. You think he was a popular man? What should the people have said if they had believed his word? If they had acknowledged their iniquity and their sin, they would have said, what should we do? I mean, it would have been time for sackcloth and ashes. But no, that wasn't it. They sought to kill him. They sought to shut him up. And their corporate preachers, their pastors, their false prophets came out and said, nah, it will never be so. Peace and safety. We are safe here. None of these things shall come upon us. That's what they said. But he says, I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies, by the hands of them that seek their lives, and their carcasses I will give to be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. I will make this city desolate and a hissing. Everyone that passes thereby shall be astonished and hiss because of all the plagues thereof. and I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons, and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat every one the flesh of his friend, in the siege and the straitness wherewith their enemies and they that seek their lives shall straiten them. Then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shall say unto them, Thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, even so I will break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet, till there be no place to bury. Thus will I do unto this place, saith Yahuwah, and to the inhabitants thereof, and even make this city as Tophet. And the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Tophet, because of all the houses upon whose roofs they have burnt incense unto all the hosts of heaven, and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whither the Lord hath sent him to prophesy. And he stood in the court of Yahuwah's house, and said to all the people, Thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon this city, and upon all her towns, all the evil that I have pronounced upon it, because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 1. Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor of the house of Yahuwah, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet, and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks, and then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor Mishabib. And we're going to have to pick up here next time. Chapter 20 of Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu. We'll pick up here next time. You're listening to Cross the Border, my website, crosstheborder.org. Please go there and take advantage of the Bible studies. I suggest that everyone start with the Genesis study there, crosstheborder.org. As always, in everything you do, Hallelujah.